KRMG's Russell Mills, and this is KRMG In Depth, the podcast. On Wednesday, February 17th, we learned of the death of Rush Limbaugh. It may take years to fully gauge his impact on the broadcasting industry. Limbaugh's reach definitely extends much more deeply than just the radio business, though. He touched the very nature of political dialogue in our country. And whether you agreed with his political philosophy or not, he was the undisputed king of talk radio. I had a chance to speak with Dr. Chris Roberts. He teaches journalism and creative media at the University of Alabama. I wanted his perspective on Rush Limbaugh's life and career. Here's our conversation in its entirety and unedited. Thanks for listening. With Dr. Chris Roberts at the University of Alabama. Random, you think, okay, well, maybe, but I got an email from these guys who said, hey, this guy's got some thoughts on the passing of a broadcasting legend, and I, you know, it's going to be hard for me to step back, hard for us here at KRMG to step back and sort of be objective about all of this because Rush Limbaugh plays a huge role in this radio station. So I thought, why not go afield and talk to somebody, get the 30,000-foot view? So, Dr. Roberts, if you could start by just kind of giving us your background a little bit. What is it that you do at the university there, and what piques your interest in this particular topic?
I am a associate professor in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media at the University of Alabama, and was a news practitioner for decades. I actually started in radio in 1979 when I was a ninth grader at the campus radio station in beautiful Jacksonville, Alabama, and was out of radio before CDs became a thing, because in those days, there wasn't a lot of personalized stuff in radio. There was not a lot of opinion in radio back in the days because of the fairness doctrine.
Yep. So now, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I don't know if your listeners know what the fairness doctrine is. There's law has a lot to do with how, or the end and changing in federal broadcast laws had a lot to do with the rise of Limbaugh. And then, of course, he did a ton on his own.
Absolutely.
So in the 1940s or so, as radio became a thing, the Federal Communications Commission passed what had to begin enforcing a federal law called the Fairness Doctrine. And that said that if you're going to talk about somebody for 5 minutes, then you need to be talking about the other side of that person or that issue for another 5 minutes. Try to keep things fair. And I remember working for a radio station back in Alabama in the early 1980s when I was in high school that had a talk show in the mornings, locally done, a guy named Rex Gardner, who has since passed on. And it was like nailing Jell-O to the wall. He didn't want to anger advertisers. He didn't want to break the fairness doctrine. So he would bring up a topic, and it may not even been an interesting topic, and hope that people would call in and talk about all sides of the issue. The fairness doctrine worked for a very long time, but by the late 1980s, it didn't work anymore, as there were more radio stations, as there were more ways for people to pick up ideas about the world. And so it began to fade away. And that allowed people like Rush and others to be very much opinionated in what they did. At the same time, there was another change in the law in the 1990s that said previously that radio stations, that one company could only own about 50 or 60 radio stations, and that was it. As the ownership limits ended, you had large companies, Cox, who I believe is your owner, as well as several other companies that began to own dozens and literally hundreds of radio stations. And the way they paid off their debt and the way they made their money was to do as much national broadcasting as they could, syndicated things. And Rush Limbaugh came along right in the middle of that. He worked particularly well for AM radio stations. As FM moved to music, AM had to fill the void somewhere, and talk radio filled that void. And Rush Limbaugh filled that void for decades.
He did. And
made his owners
a lot of money, I think, is where you're going with that. I mean,
exactly.
But I'm interested, Chris, what are your thoughts about why this guy took off? What was it that set him apart? Because he certainly wasn't the only one trying to do talk radio or trying to do conservative talk radio. What is it do you think was the magic sauce that made Rush Limbaugh stand out?
He was an excellent communicator. He was very good at what he did, and he knew when to push buttons. He knew when to pull back. He knew which way the wind was blowing and was just excellent. And, you know, I listen, and this may not be fair to your station or to others, but I listen to a lot of people, even at the local level, who want to be Rush Limbaugh, but they're not as good as Rush Limbaugh because they're even more acerbic. And more importantly, they're just not funny, or they were just not as interesting as Rush was. He, at heart, was an entertainer who realized that you could entertain even as you talked about political issues. And we see many, many stations and broadcasters now who do that professionally. They just weren't as good as Rush. They just didn't hit at the right time as Rush, and they haven't been as successful.
And in many ways, he kind of created that role, right? I mean, when I think back to old-time radio stars like Father Coughlin or, you know, somebody like that, it was about religion. It wasn't about politics back in the day. And
well, it was a little about both.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. That is true. They certainly let the political speech seep into that. But here was a guy who really approached it from a secular point of view. I mean, he talked about Christianity and talked about his beliefs. But that was not his wheelhouse. His wheelhouse was political conservatism, and he gave voice, I think, to a lot of people who didn't know how to say what they were thinking. Is that fair?
I think that's absolutely true. And more than that, he and the ones who followed began to set policy. And critics will say that the tail began wagging the dog, that if you did something, you had an idea that was different from what Rush and some of the others were thinking, then you were going to be pilloried for that, and it was going to cost you politically.
And I think we're still seeing some of that, right? I mean, Rush was known to the very end as a kingmaker and a mover and a shaker. I'm curious, do you have any thoughts about why conservative talk radio seems to work and there really doesn't seem to be a liberal answer to it?
There were efforts, certainly. Air America tried and landed into bankruptcy. And part of that was the economic format. Part of that was because conservative radio got there first. Part of it was because some would argue that much of media was already tending to not be as conservative as Limbaugh and the others were. So the market was already saturated in some ways. Progressives, some would argue, are more likely to read to get information than to listen to the radio. They may not see their politics as entertainment as Limbaugh provided.
So I'm like you, I'm an older guy. I was actually graduated before you did because I graduated in 80. But watching how radio has changed over the years, I'm really hard pressed to think of an individual who had more of an impact on that industry in the modern era. Am I just, you know, whistling Dixie here?
Being from Alabama, I say you're exactly right about that when it comes to Dixie or other things. Yes. But you'll notice he didn't translate to television very well. He tried on Monday Night Football. It didn't work for a national audience because a national audience was not really ready to hear all of his conservative views. And talking about politics when we should be thinking about sports didn't work for his aborted effort on football. His television shows didn't work because he is a different type. He worked best in a radio format. Broadcasting, he was just kind of a big guy, and it just didn't work.
And the other thing is radio is a much more intimate medium, if that makes any sense. In other words, I know when I'm talking on the radio, I'm talking to a listener. I'm not addressing a wide audience. Now, Rush did both, but really when you were listening, it sounded like he was talking to you. And I think maybe that was part of the gift. What do you think?
Absolutely. We talk in my media classes to students about hot and cold media. And radio, talk radio, is something you have to pay attention to. It has to be very hot, which means hot meaning something that your brain has to be paying attention to. When you're playing music, maybe not so much. When we're watching television, we are at the same time folding clothes or texting or doing other things, which makes television a cold thing. But when it comes to excellent radio, you have to pay attention.
And boy, people did. Looking forward, I don't know how closely you follow the industry. I mean, you're teaching folks how to do it, so I presume that you keep your finger on the pulse. How are they going to fill this gap? How are they going to fill those shoes? Because that is a big pair of shoes to try to fill for talk radio.
You know, there's nobody ready to step into that void that I am aware of. I think some of the current ones we have will continue to grow, but it wasn't like he was prepping anybody to take over his role. And that is part, again, of the cult or whatever it is of personality that he was, as opposed to traditional broadcasting where, you know, you have a protege and you try to build that person up to be ready to step in. That was not his circumstance.
No, indeed.
I don't know what your station's going to do or the 600 or 700 who also follow. And it also marks a political junction of do you go further right? Do you move back toward the middle? What is it that your audience wants? What is it that your audience deserves ethically and commercially?
So if you were advising them at this point, you know, as a consultant, what would you say to these, you know, to these station owners?
They are a whole lot smarter than I am, and I try to make it a practice not to predict the future or make predictions when I'm not getting paid for them.
You're wise.
My honest answer is I don't know, but I've got to believe that the smart people knew that this was coming. This is his death. It was not a galloping shock. He let people know for a long time, and you know. The question is whether or not his network will his organization will continue to hold that time slot as it begins to try to bring in other people, or if there's something in the aisles that can step in and replace him at this and other stations.
Some really big question marks looming over the loss of a broadcasting legend, really. I mean, no matter how you felt about his politics or his style, he was funny, he was entertaining, and he was the king of what he did. I don't think anybody disputes that, and the numbers back it up. He had the listeners, and they were very loyal, and I hear from them every day on the telephone. So
absolutely. And you didn't hear from the people who didn't listen to him.
That is,
which is part of the one of the things you have to say about him is that the political divide that's been created since the 1990s, he has a role in that, for better and for worse. The discussions of how we talk about politics and each other's began to be changed dramatically because of him. As I say, in 1982, you couldn't call somebody a feminazi because of federal law and just the nature of how we did politics. Today, I mean, that's a term that he created and many others. And it's played a role in how we live our lives as Americans and how democracy has evolved during his time on the air.
He has impacted more than just the broadcasting industry, no doubt about it. Kind of like the Beatles did more than just make records, right? It was about haircuts and clothes and all kinds of things. So the impact of Rush Limbaugh, it's going to take us a while to gauge it, really. We're going to have to look back historically a few years down the road and say maybe then we'll be able to really get some perspective on it. But I appreciate your perspective. Dr. Chris Roberts teaches media at the University of Alabama and was kind enough to spend a few minutes letting me pick his brain about the news regarding Rush Limbaugh. Sir, anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Under state law, I'm required to say Roll Tide.
Is that state law? Wow, that's
harsh.
I
think it would be, but it's not.
All right. Well, I am from Montana, so I am the Switzerland of college athletics. I try to stay neutral in all things. So I'll give you your Roll Tide, And thank you again for your time, Chris. Really do appreciate it. And perhaps we'll speak again.
My pleasure.
All right, brother. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to KRMG In-Depth, the podcast. I'm always looking for stories about the people, places, and politics of Oklahoma. I'm easy to find on Facebook, or you can always email me and the entire KRMG news team. The email address is news@krmg.com. I'm Russell Mills. Thanks for the listen.